David Arredondo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Our conservative analyst joining us this morning to talk about things that happened last night. What do you see?
It's about the delegates. And I will continually remind you that this is like the opening of the baseball season. And the team that runs the table in April is not necessarily the team that wins the World Series. That said, I continue to lament that both parties put so much stock into states like Iowa and New Hampshire that are far from representative of the United States at large. However, that's the process we have, and we work with it. And I would certainly not, poo-poo Trump's win or Sanders' win. They won convincingly. So I give them all the credit in the world for that. I also give a lot of credit to the governor, whose strategy worked in that he camped out for months in New Hampshire, and it got him into second place. I will note that prior to Saturday's debate, in which Marco Rubio had an off night, it looked like Rubio was in second place to perhaps even narrow the lead between him and Trump. Because of the stumble that he had at the first part of the debate, he dropped down into fifth place, and it looks like Kasich picked up his support and put him into second place. So it's an interesting dynamic that happened last night. Now we'll go on to South Carolina. Things are a little bit different there. It's a southern state. It's more conservative. Not sure how Kasich will do very well, but right now, if you look at the polls in South Carolina, Kasich isn't within the top five. And the usual, the Trumps, the Cruzes, the Rubios, and even Bush and Carson are top five in South Carolina.
Some of the talking points on the different networks last night, one was that Kasich may not have the money nor the organization to really show well in South Carolina, so he might focus instead on Midwestern states, and that Bernie Sanders might not show well in South Carolina because polling with minorities hasn't gone well for him. What do you see?
Well, I think I agree with that. You have to understand why those two did as well as they did in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a very moderate blue state. It has a streak of independence in there. What is encouraging for Republicans this year is that turnout is up. It was up dramatically in Iowa. It was 300,000 plus versus 200,000 plus for the Democrats in New Hampshire. So the base of the Republican Party is very energized. It still is a conservative to moderate base, unlike the state of New Hampshire. I don't see the governor faring very well throughout the South. South Carolina, we're going to have the SEC primaries on March the 1st, even out in Nevada. So look at the red states that he's going to be campaigning in, and that's why his numbers are in the 2% or 3% range.
You mentioned Marco Rubio, and again, up front, we always tell people
right.
You are a Marco Rubio delegate
right.
Here in Ohio.
Right.
And you mentioned how he took a hit after that debate. We saw a video last night of people dressing up like robots at one of his rallies, and they were confronted by his supporters. Yet he defended saying the same line kind of over and over and over. But some people didn't take well to it.
Right.
So what do you do?
You move on. You move on. And actually, in his speech last night, if it was concession speech or what have you, he did acknowledge, this is on me. I was kind of like in a sporting event where the quarterback says, it's on me. I threw that interception. I cost our team to lose. I missed that extra point, whatever. And he took it, as he should. That's on me. I let you down, and I'm not going to let you do, I'm not going to do that again. You're not going to see that happen again. He was very, determined in saying you will not see that happen again. So, again, you fumble away the first half, but then you come back in the second half and you score two or three touchdowns, which he did in that debate. But unfortunately, what was telling was the first part of the debate. Marco will be back.
Are we going to see anybody dropping out?
Yes, as a matter of fact. And as I was coming in this morning, I heard on one of the radio shows that somebody compared Chris Christie to a suicide bomber, whereby he went in and he took out Marco Rubio, but it didn't do him any good, and he essentially self-destructed in that. And he said he was, what I heard, was that he was suspending his campaign, and some people were saying, well, that's tantamount to him dropping out. He wasn't going to be going on to South Carolina, so that's probably he was in the national polls 2-3%, kind of where Kasich is, and he didn't do well in New Hampshire at all. So
let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump. It's interesting, with most of the sound bites you get from Donald Trump are some sort of exclamation, some sort of positive kind of acknowledgement of certain things. They're not sort of substances. They're very short, you know, like I say, exclamations. We heard them say, wow, whoa, that's all you get.
We're doing great.
Something like that. So it's almost like a message like that, sometimes maybe subliminal, that I'm having fun, it's working out, you know, this is the way to go. It seems like that's part of a strategy that he has.
Yeah, and it goes only so far, because you eventually have to account for what you're going to do, all right? Saying that you're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it is not reality, all right? Those kinds of comments only go so far. We're going to stop all Muslims from coming into the country. That's not going to happen. We're going to have everybody deported who's here illegally. That's not practical. So let's talk about, you know, something that makes sense. We're going to have a better health care program than what we already have right now. Wow. You know, people yell and scream. That's great. What is it? We're yet to see any substance from Donald, but these wild comments certainly evoke a lot of enthusiasm from his supporters, and it's what they want to hear.
So there may be coming a time where it's the put up or shut up kind of a point, right? When it kind of when rubber meets the road, if I want to use just sort of analogies of time. But maybe that's in the part of the plan. You get sort of the people inspired, getting you moved along, and then at some point you come in with the agenda.
I don't see an agenda. I mean, and here's where Marco was hit for being robotic and using the same talking points about going after Barack Obama and his administration, which we should be doing. It's what the Democrats did in 2008. They ran against Bush. They didn't have anything to offer, just that they're not Bush. Republicans need to do the same thing, and that's what Marco is doing. Trump is just talking about, we're going to do all of these things with no substance. What they need to do in these debates, and I mean the moderators, is to press him to say, explain to me how you're going to deport 11 million people. Give me some details of how this is going to work. And really press him on that. Thus far, nobody has really done that.
Right. But if you're listening to a debate and someone starts bringing out numbers, how does that really play out then? There's almost like you need to have longer explanations. Sound bites don't always work with getting specifically how things are going
to
be done.
Well, you do have to have some numbers. I mean, you can't go into a dissertation because you don't have the time. And so this is why it's important that you are prepared ahead of time with numbers that are going to be quick. Like, I can sit here and tell you what the real clear politics average or how many delegates are needed, and other than just to say that it's not over till it's over. No. What do you mean, David? We mean that you need 1,237 delegates to win the nomination, and right now Trump has 17, Kasich has 3, Cruz has 10, Bush has 2, and Rubio has 7. Those are facts, and it didn't take long for me to bring those up. Other than, you know, so you can see the difference,
sure,
between numbers and just saying it's not over.
One more thing. Again, there was a commentator last night who said the longer the more Republican candidates stay in the race, the longer it will be before we know who might get the nomination, because delegates will be spread across the board.
Precisely.
And if they are, let's say that plays out, those delegates are spread across the board, what happens? You head to the convention and what?
You know, that's a possible scenario, but the way I see it is that by March 15th at the latest, possibly earlier, you're really only going to have Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and possibly someone like a Kasich or a Bush still in the race. No more than four, possibly only three. So somebody is going to come up with, I feel, a majority, because once March 15th rolls around, you're going to start getting some big numbers of delegates statewide. So you're only going to have several hundred up until March 15th that have been allocated. But I don't see a dozen or half a dozen. I mean, we're only going to see maybe three or four people after March 15th.
Now this is when all the states, it gets splintered. So they have to figure out where they want to put their money, where they
exactly.
want to show up. There's a lot of strategy that's
exactly.
going to take place in the
you're
next
You're absolutely right.
Next 30
strategy,
days.
We have to decide where we're going to maximize our money and our votes.
And then we have to understand how the results come based on what they did to know if it worked for them.
Absolutely.
Too much information. We'll be talking with you again coming up in the days ahead as things kind of narrow down, shorter and shorter. David Arredondo joining us, talking about the politics this morning.